A very warm welcome to a brand new episode of Sherm Podcast that delves deep into the complex world of modern work, worker, and workplace. I'm your host, Nitya Vijayakumar from the Sherm Knowledge and Advisory team. And today we are going to be talking about conquering workplace mental health stigma. We are diving headfirst into the striking statistics from a recent Sherm research that underscores the growing concern, the mental health challenges faced by different generations in today's workforce. The new research shows that mental health challenges in the workplace continue to persist, especially for the younger generations at work. One in three workers surveyed for the study say their job has negatively impacted their mental health in the past 6 to 8 months. These results indicate a growing need for mental health support for young workers. And that's not all. First up, let's talk about Generation Z. You know those young, dynamic go-getters? Well, it turns out that a whopping 27% of them have felt the job blues and downright feeling depressed at work. This is followed by a significant 18% in the Gen Z. And what is surprising is just a mere 7% of baby boomers and traditionalists have walked down the gloomy path. What makes this generation quite resilient, we wonder? For Gen Z and millennials, feeling overwhelmed by their job at least once a week in the last 6 months is all too familiar. Loneliness at work, it seems to be a real thing, and it's hitting Gen Z and millennials really hard. However, a tiny percentage of 5% of the population are really riding the lonely roller coaster when it comes to baby boomers and traditionalists. And what does this call for? This really calls for all of us to sit back and think about what is really and how is really our workplaces shaping up. From a feeling of overwhelming pressure to haunting pangs of loneliness, it is important that we start talking about workplace mental well-being. And in this episode, we are peeling back the layers of this complex issue, hearing from experts and who are here to share their personal stories. So it's my pleasure to welcome here to this podcast, Mr. Nathan Fick, who's the founder and CEO at Volibear. A very warm welcome to you, Nathan.
Thanks, Cynthia. Nice to see you.
I'm very eager to hear from you on how did this entire journey of mental well-being in workplaces start for you?
Yeah, great question. So for me, actually, I'm a military combat veteran. And so I saw mental health and well-being at its lowest serving in combat during 2004 and 2005 in Iraq. But also even before that, in the military, there's a lot of stigma with mental well-being. And that kind of led my journey as I got out of the service to the opportunity to be exposed to the same stigmas in the workplace. So that led me on a journey of having my own personal issues with PTSD and suffering from mental health. So I knew there was an opportunity to support more people, starting with myself. So for me, I had to look inward for the vulnerabilities of what I had to do to improve as a person and as an employee. And then that led to the opportunity of us starting Waliva to support more people as I had actually gone down that journey personally and professionally.
What is workplace mental health stigma, and what are some of the common misconceptions?
Definitely. So interesting stat is 9 out of 10 employees believe their workplace has a stigma around mental health. So to that question, you know, we hear a lot from like in our space and how we work is the ability to, again, like you mentioned, not feel vulnerable within the workplace that can lead to the inability to communicate with both their peers or even HR. And then HR is there to be a support for the employee. And I think that can lead to a lot of negative effects with regards to decreased morale, the inability to be productive at work because you're thinking about too many things going on, you know, outside of work, or just how you're managing your stress in your daily life. So I think a lot of it has to start with the organization understanding that there are significant issues of that, and that there's going to have to be time, energy, and resources implemented to be supporting those employees with these opportunities of improving mental health.
Nathan, but this entire piece on mental well-being, it seems to have suddenly caught the limelight. It wasn't so significant a few years back. And why do you think this has assumed such a, big place in workspaces and corporate world now?
Yeah, I think that the interesting thing is COVID exacerbated it, right? Like, we had an opportunity to look within, literally, to see, as we were working remotely, the opportunities of working remotely and then going back to work. A lot of people recognize that, hey, we wanted to stay in this hybrid remote environment. And to me personally, I think a lot of it has to do with mental health. Yeah. I think a lot of people felt more comfortable maybe working from home and not feeling the judgment or the things that are happening in the workplace. So I think it's really interesting. But yeah, I would say COVID definitely exacerbated the opportunity of showing mental health and how important that was, and the mass amounts of suicides and things that we see in a daily basis is just unacceptable. So I do think COVID was the light that shed on this issue.
Yeah, there are two sides to this COVID coin, and none of which is very pleasing. Nathan, how do you think this workplace mental health stigma really affects employees' well-being, productivity? What has your experience been?
Yeah, I mean, personally, it's interesting because I saw it firsthand, right? I know that firsthand, like, the opportunities of being productive at work, there can be a negative effect when you're struggling with mental health. So I saw it firsthand. And within the workplace, again, it's like 62% of employees are missing work related to mental health. So right there, that's a huge issue that we need to combat. But overall, I mean, it's just not having the resources available. As I was mentioning earlier, it's like, if you don't have the resources available to your team to combat mental health, that's going to hinder productivity. And it can primarily be dropped just due to many things. Again, it's just the inability to do the work related to certain activities because you're thinking about what you have to do later that day. So to me, a lot of mental health really stems from the inability to stay focused and then overthinking of things that are happening in your daily life. And you're overstressing about things that are out of your control. I always try to encourage our team and family and friends to focus on what you can control. Yeah. If it's out of your control, don't stress about it. Because if you stress about it, then you're just creating an unnecessary thing that is opening up too many doors of stressor. So I would say my little tidbit there is, don't stress about things that you can't control, but focus on those things that you can control.
Sure, Nathan, I have made a personal note for myself too on that one. So thank you for that. But you speak about resources being available at workplace. And one of the key things, organizations should enable, in fact, what leaders should encourage is open conversations about mental health in workplace. So how do you think this can really, bring about the change that we are looking to achieve with you?
Yeah, definitely. I would say the interesting thing is, we talked about it earlier, is vulnerability, right? I think it's very important for leadership to be vulnerable within the organization to be able to reduce and remove that stigma around mental health so that employees feel more comfortable. They feel more confident to speak about these potential risks that or these issues that they may be facing. So there's no reason that employees should not be able to feel vulnerable to talk to their direct report or HR to talk about these issues that might be facing. And then forward-looking organizations need to be more mindful. They need to be more mindful of providing resources to employees and looking at employees as their number one asset, which they are. Employees are their number one asset. And if we're more proactive on preventative care and overall well-being and providing employees the resources that they need to do their job effectively, in this case, it's mental health. So those resources could be nutrition and movement. It could be talking about, having resources like a one-on-one coach, maybe an executive coach, or maybe it's a nutrition and life coach. So I think vulnerability, point one, feeling comfortable to talk about these. And point two is the resources, including like anything around mental health and not just meditation. I feel like a lot of people think mental health is just meditation and mindfulness, and it's not. So I would say all areas of well-being are very important, and taking that holistic view is very key.
With more and more workplaces, you know, adopting hybrid ways of working, flexible workplaces becoming more and more common, what do you think can be strategies that an organization can effectively adopt to ensure that they're able to support mental health and mental well-being for all these kind of, you know, gig workers, the hybrid workers, flexible workers, so on and so forth?
Yeah, great question. Simple, technology, right? I think technology, it's interesting is we were able to stay connected during COVID when we were not able to be with our loved ones, right? We were able to connect with them on different social channels. We were able to connect with them via Zoom or what have you. So first and foremost, technology is that opportunity to support employees, regardless if they're in office, remote, or hybrid. And I would say one of the things that we've seen is be able to support employees with building a community, right? Connecting employees who share, as you mentioned, similar wellness interests and wellness goals. So we have within Waliba, we support our team with a community-based app to be able to support the employees with connectivity so that they can connect on wellness interests and goals as one place to do that. So it's creating that community environment for both inside, outside the workplace. So interesting stat is you're more likely to be more productive if you have more than one friend in the workplace. So I would say, yeah, to that question, it's technology first and foremost. And then getting the ability to connect in different tools like recognition programs to stay connected or wellness programs to stay connected or even other engagement programs to stay connected through your company intranet. So that's what we do to support our employees is through our app, but also our clients as well as that ability to stay connected across different pillars of well-being, including mental, physical, emotional. But then lastly, the opportunity of building that community with your colleagues at work.
Sure. So as I say, most complex problems have simple solutions. So what role do you think the employees play? What are some of the responsibilities that they can assume when it comes to combating workplace mental health stigma?
Yeah, great question. I think first and foremost is employers need to be educated on actually what mental health is. That's first and foremost. So I would say mental health, like I mentioned earlier, is not just meditation. Mental health actually starts in your gut. So it's the food that we eat or do not eat. It's the movement we do or do not do. So I'd say first, leaders need to, again, go back being vulnerable is they don't know everything.
Yeah.
Right. So they need to be understanding that education is key around this topic and what, how does mental health start and how do we combat it? So I would say first and foremost is organizations need to take a step back and understand and be educated on the topic about movement and nutrition and holistic well-being and how that really is imperative to combat mental health. But going back even further, I think one of the things that we've done in Waliba is we have Waliba Wednesdays. So Waliba stands for work-life balance. So we have these Waliba Wednesdays that I would encourage every company to do every Wednesday to give your employees space in place to take 10, 15, 30 minutes every Wednesday to focus on well-being. And then the second thing we've seen organizations do is these mindful Mondays where maybe they're starting their day off and before they jump into their work, be mindful of the work that you have in place for the week. So take a step back and breathe and organize your calendar again, and then focusing on the things that you can control in your day-to-day tasks. But I do think that the Waliba Wednesdays is a key thing that organizations can do. The opportunity of being educated on the topic around what mental health is key. And then the third thing is, you know, bringing more awareness around it. So May being Mental Health Month is a good opportunity to bring awareness about mental health and the opportunity to talk about it openly as an organization. And again, leadership and senior leaders within the organization be vulnerable.
How do you think will a stigma-free workplace look like? What are the potential benefits of having a stigma-free workplace?
Yeah, great question. I think what's interesting to start with a stigma-free workplace, again, with the vulnerability is understand when you make mistakes, right? Like leaders need to understand when they make mistakes because we're all not perfect. We're all going to make mistakes regardless if we're, you know, 1 year into our careers or 20 years into our careers. And then, you know, the positive impacts of that can be anything from a happier, healthier workforce, which can lead to reduce sick days, which means more productivity, the opportunity of better morale, which leads to more creativity. I think what we've seen, there's a lot of data supporting this, is that happier, healthier employers are more productive and more creative. More creative means more opportunities for the business to accelerate growth and also for the business to not, you know, go under, I guess I would say. So there's a lot of businesses that lack creativity and then don't see, aren't forward thinking to that opportunity to see new benefits on within the organization. But I would say, yeah, productivity, reducing absenteeism, and just improving overall morale can lead to a lot of positive impacts, including creativity within the organization.
Just to summarize, what I clearly heard you say, Nathan, is I guess the first step towards conquering this mental health stigma would be to create awareness, understand what mental well-being is all about and what it is not, most importantly. And as each of us, you know, create a safe space for us to lead by example, be vulnerable, give others a chance to be vulnerable. And that's how a successful mental health and well-being journey can be started. Thank you so much for your time, Nathan. It's been wonderful chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me, Antti. I appreciate it.